This is Pastor Dean Proctor from Queensway Baptist Church in Brantford, Ontario, Canada. You're listening to a podcast of one of our latest sermons. At Queensway, we seek to impact lives for Jesus in this generation and in generations to come. As you listen to this podcast, we trust you'll be blessed. Here's a question for you to start off this new series this morning. Who is or was the wisest person you ever met? Thank you. Thank you very much. But it's not me. And I didn't say the smartest or good lookingest, Glenn. I appreciate it. I'm taking it. But I'm talking about the wisest person you ever met. Not the one with the most education. Okay? Not the one with the most degrees hanging on the wall. But the wisest person you ever met. Because sometimes, at least this has been my experience, that the wisest people I've met don't have degrees hanging on the wall. Some of the wisest people I've ever met, hanging on the wall instead are pictures of the family farm. Those are the wisest people I've ever met. Because in this climate, to even have a family farm anymore, you've got to be wise. Maybe it's a neighbor for you. You think back and it was that neighbor that spoke into your life at just the right time. Or maybe it was the coach of a team that you were on, or a supervisor or a boss. But when you think about that person, what was it that made them so wise in your eyes? It probably wasn't the volume of words that they used. But when they did speak up, how they used those words. It probably wasn't the avalanche of knowledge or information that they poured out on you. It was when they did speak, when they did inform, that they spoke those words at exactly the right time, in exactly the right way that you needed to hear them. Maybe they were words of caution. Maybe they were words of encouragement. See, wisdom isn't just knowledge, right? So that's why I said, I'm not asking about the smartest person. Wisdom is about knowing what to do with that knowledge. It's not about the gaining and gleaning of information. It's about knowing how to put that information into action. It's, as you may have heard said, it's the difference between schoolroom learning and pool room learning. Being book smart or being street smart. Wisdom, knowing what to do with that information. Wisdom is huge when it comes to God's word. There's an entire genre in the Old Testament called wisdom literature. It includes books like Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, where the wise are speaking and saying, choose well, let me give you some advice. In Ecclesiastes, the writer, the teacher, gives us this exploration in those chapters of what they've discovered in life through material gain, through financial gain, through work, through all kinds of things. Here's what I've learned. None of that matters if you're doing it outside of God. None of that matters outside of a relationship with God. That's what I've learned, he says. Take that. In the book of Job, the wisdom that's gleaned from that very difficult story, very difficult reading, is the wisdom that we can, even when it is not going the way we would choose it to go, trust that there is a sovereign God who's over and above it all. That even in the dark valley, in the most unbelievable times of tragedy, God hasn't abandoned. But that God is running things according to his wisdom and not ours. I can't tell you the number of times when I was away and the pastors would ask questions, because in that culture, they need to know all the answers. And so now this guy flies down, this gringo from the snow flies down, and he's supposed to have all of the answers. And so they're firing questions fast and furious, because we did a whole Bible overview. One of the questions was, at the time of the fall in Genesis, did Satan fall from heaven before the creation of Adam and Eve or after the creation of Adam and Eve? Who ever in the world thought of that question? This is the kind of, they need to know, they need to, what if someone asks me? I need to know the answer. And so one of the teachings that we offered was to say, it's okay to say, I don't know. It's foreign in that culture, because you're supposed to know, and you're supposed to give an answer, even if it's not the right answer, even if it's not the answer you actually believe. You got to give an answer. And so I would take them back to Job 38 and 39 and say, look at God's response here to someone seeking an answer that they figure they deserved. It's like 60 questions of God saying, and by the way, where were you when I was building the earth? You want all this information? You couldn't handle all the information. Where were you when I was laying the foundation? Where were you? You see, and I pointed them there because there's wisdom in that. There's wisdom in knowing you don't know it all and you can't know it all. There's wisdom in knowing that God has a handle on this, especially in those times, those frequent times, when we don't. So that's the wisdom that comes out of the book of Job. Well, that brings us to the book of Proverbs, and that's the focus of our next 4 weeks here at Queensway, as we look at these pieces of wisdom in the wisdom literature that help us in our daily lives, that are gleaned from the wisdom of so many people over so many generations, things that we can take and apply, that's the most important word, apply to our family situations, to our workplace situations, to our practice of faith in the wider community, just how we go about our daily lives. How do we do that with God's wisdom? Not just with all the answers, with God's wisdom. So for the next 4 weeks, we're going to spend time in the book of Proverbs, wandering through it. We're not going to have a chance to look at every single thing in there, but we're going to look at things like the cost of not seeking God's wisdom. We're going to see how God's wisdom directs us to be, for instance, generous and not stingy. God's wisdom says that. To have real security in life with God instead of the false security that the world promises. We'll talk openly about the things that God loves and that we would be wise to love as well, and the things that God hates. So this morning we're going to look at wisdom versus foolishness, and we're going to see it personified. Those two thoughts are personified in the form of two imaginary people in chapter 9 of the book of Proverbs. One is Lady Wisdom, one is Lady Folly. So we're in Proverbs chapter 9, verses 1 to 18 this morning. And as you turn there, first let me commend your great faith this morning, at your great faith that these rows were going to be filled up by guests, and that's why you sat so far back. Congratulations on that. I appreciate the strength of your faith there. That's good. Proverbs 9, 1 to 18 has three clear kind of movements or acts, if you want to think about it like a dramatization, or maybe if you think of it musically, it has three verses. Verses 1 to 9 are the first act or the first movement. And this is where we are going to read about this person who personifies God's wisdom. Then verses 13 to 18, these speak about the person who personifies folly or foolishness. And then right in between those two sections, verses 10, 11, and 12, right in the middle, it's like a hinge that the whole chapter pivots on. It's a warning to the reader to choose wisely between these two ladies, these two personifications, wisdom or folly, to choose well. Because there's joy in choosing the wisdom, and there's danger in choosing folly. So Proverbs 9, verses 1 to 18. Wisdom has built her house. She's hewn her seven pillars. She's slaughtered her beasts. She's mixed her wine. She's also set her table. She's sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come eat of my bread. Drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the ways of insight. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse. And he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he'll hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he'll love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he'll be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he'll increase in learning. The fear, this is this middle section now, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. For by me, your days will be multiplied, and years will be added to your life. If you're wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it. And now this other personification, verses 13 to 18, the way of folly. The woman folly is loud. She's seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. When I read this proverb, I almost hear the words of Joshua in Joshua 24, when he says to the people of Israel, choose you today whom you will serve. Make a choice. Pick one. Which of these two voices are you going to chase after? The one that leads to godly wisdom or the one that leads to ungodly foolishness? Now, when you ask it that way, I think most of us would know what the right answer is. You know, it's like in Sunday school. It's like the answer is always Jesus. It doesn't matter what the question is. The answer is Jesus. So when you say, well, should you choose God's wisdom or should you choose foolishness? Well, we know what the answer ought to be. It's just living it out that is the challenge and the difficulty. This proverb is demonstrating a choice that's before everyone. Everyone. Do you want to seek the righteousness of God for your life? Choose wisdom. Choose wrong, and you choose folly and foolishness. Well, as we work through this book called Proverbs, we're going to see lots of different ways that wisdom is commended to us. But in this particular chapter, chapter 9, there's three things about Lady Wisdom, some traits that I think we can adopt if we want to pursue God's wisdom. And one of the things that we see about Lady Wisdom is that she's diligent in attending to important matters, even eternal things. Okay? In verses 1 to 3, we see all the planning that she has made. She's prepared her home. She's prepared her table. She's prepared her staff for those who will eventually receive the invitation to come and grow in the understanding of the things of God. She's thought this through. She is being intentional about giving attention to those matters that deserve her attention and giving them all importance. That's wisdom. The second thing is that wisdom is concerned with building others up. This is point number two. And we see this in verses 5 to 6. Wisdom is offering a real promise to the one who responds to the invitation. A literal guarantee that if you accept her invitation, you'll be built up in your spiritual understanding in a constructive and intentional way. And although we didn't read it, if we were to go back to Proverbs chapter 3, this is an echo of that. Growing in God's understanding versus our own. If you think back to our most recent baptisms, both candidates chose Proverbs 3, 5 to 6 as their life verses, which is to say, don't lean on your own understanding, but let God's way make your paths straighter. And so this is what's being echoed in chapter 9 here. Don't rest on your own understanding. Pursue God's wisdom. He will make your paths straighter. Walk away from simple and shallow knowledge about God and pursue wisdom and understanding directly from God. Those two things are radically different. Talking about God and talking to God are two completely different things. Gaining the knowledge about God and gaining knowledge from God are two different things. And finally, the trait that we see in Lady Wisdom that rounds this out for us is that the wise know that they don't know everything. They don't have all the understanding that they need, which is why we need to pursue God's wisdom. See, foolishness over on this side across the street, foolishness has a much louder voice. She's offering a much more attractive invitation, filled with pleasure, but also filled with folly. And the problem with Lady Foolishness is that she hates to be corrected. She hates to have her lack of knowledge pointed out. Those who are wise in the things of God, I'm convinced, become wise to begin with because they accept the fact they don't know everything. So they're open to the things of God to fill that vacuum of knowledge that they recognize they don't have. Someone who figures they already know everything has nothing to learn. And that was a hard lesson for some of the Nicaraguan pastors. I just said, every time I come to you, you have the answer, I'm going to stop coming to you with questions. Because I'm not going to trust that you actually have all the answers. I would really like to have you say, I don't know. And I pointed them to that end times passage that I shared with you before I left. Jesus, when is the end of time going to come? When should we be prepared for that to happen? And Jesus said, I don't know. The Father knows. He hasn't told me. And I said to them, brothers and sisters, if the Lord Jesus can say, I don't know, I think you can too. And so that's God's wisdom in saying, I don't know everything. And I need to seek after that. Now, conversely, we have the other door here. The traits of the foolish that are laid out in verses 13 to 18. What about the foolish? Well, the first thing is that the foolish are loud and brash. And by that I mean that they talk more than they listen. I've often taught people who are preparing to do, hospital visitation or some type of pastoral care in some way. I've often said to them, well, they're like, I don't know what to say to people. I said, it's not about saying anything. Listen. Listen to what they're going through. Listen to the hurt. Listen to the pain. You can't do anybody any damage by listening to them. It's the minute you open your mouth. That's where trouble raises its ugly head. There's a quote, and it's often been attributed to Abraham Lincoln, but also to Mark Twain, and the quote says this: better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak up and remove all doubt. See, the foolish don't let their lack of knowledge stop them from speaking up and speaking out. Instead, they magnify their own ignorance. And in an ironic way, to the simple, that magnified ignorance is actually more attractive. And so then, the foolish pile on. They're easily swayed. Verses 14 to 17, we see that Lady Folly is depicted as a form of a sensual siren, one who is constantly calling out to passers-by to come into her place. Come on over, have some fun. You deserve it. Life is boring. Don't think too much about it. If it feels good, do it. Your personal comfort is all that matters. That's foolishness. The Bible is teaching here that only fools believe that it's all about me. It's folly to put oneself ahead of the things of God. And when we do that, it leads us, as we see in the final verse, to nowhere good. Verse 18 is explaining that those pleasures that you're pursuing, that foolishness that you've unwittingly gone after, it leads to death. It comes at a cost. It's compared to stolen water and bread eaten in secret. things hidden, spirited away. Today, it could be something, maybe not stolen water, not stolen bread, but maybe it's something else that we do in secret. Maybe it's something else that we do that no one else is aware of. It's hidden. And folly says, that's great. Keep doing that thing. It's awesome. It's beautiful. It's sweet. And in this final verse, in verse 18, the writer concludes with this damning statement about where, what's behind folly's door. It's offered in kind of a narrator's voice. The first 17 verses sort of roll out, and then there's this narrator's postlude at the end. But he does not know that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. Sheol is the Hebrew place of the dead, the grave, the pit, the afterlife. And what the book of Proverbs is saying is that those who choose folly are choosing death. Those who choose something opposite from the wisdom of God are choosing death. They've rejected the wisdom which in the Word of God is seen best. The wisdom of God is seen best in the person of Jesus Christ. Now we know that in this chapter of Proverbs, Solomon, he's including these two representations, wisdom and folly, and suggesting that a foolish person maintains a lifestyle of self-ordained concepts of what is right and what is wrong, and it might be wrong for you, but it's right for me, instead of an obedience to God and what God has already said. The foolish seek immediate physical pleasure instead of building their personal character. The foolish repeat the same mistakes over and over again. They're restless. They wander void of a sense of peace or shalom. They have relationships that are filled with strife. But Solomon is saying there's a better way here. There's a better choice, a more hopeful outcome if you choose wisely. Now, Solomon was among those who continued at the time that this was written to await the Messiah, the King of Israel, that God had promised since Genesis 3:15. Not knowing when that Messiah would come. But as we read this from 2019, I can't help but see the Lord Jesus in that center section, verses 10 through 12. I can't help but see the Messiah being highlighted in those verses. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the Holy One is insight. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years will be added to your life. If you're wise, you're wise for yourself. But if you scoff, you alone will bear it. That's salvation in Jesus. That's eternal life through him alone. That's about making a choice, more than just a choice about which behavior will I choose, wise behavior or foolish behavior. This is about choosing eternal life or death. This is about choosing salvation or wrath. And we're going to land in one of those camps. It's just a matter of which one. I remind you of the words of the prophet Bob Dylan. You got to serve somebody. It may be the devil, it may be the Lord, but you're going to serve somebody. Which one are you going to choose? Wisdom belongs to God. Destruction belongs to foolishness. Things in this world, our daily lives, things like love and life and good decision-making and godly temperament and healthy relationships and strong faith and so much more, they come from the wisdom of God that is through Jesus Christ. And so, in the end, it is a choice to be made. The end of this portion of the book of Proverbs says, it's door number one or it's door number two. It's wisdom or it's folly. Which one will you choose? And depending on the one we choose, we're going to have a radically different outcome for our daily lives. And so choose you today whom you will serve. Wisdom or folly.